The past 4 months have seen stories about sexual harassment and sexual violence amongst young people dominate across social media, the news, and within our own conversations too. And it can be near impossible to know where to start with addressing these issues and ensuring that our teenagers have the right knowledge and the right understanding to keep themselves safe and also to tackle the attitudes and beliefs that lead to these experiences. I'm Natasha, the founder of Bold Voices, a social enterprise delivering education on gender inequality and gender-based violence in schools and universities across the UK. And today I have a few tips for you to either start or continue these conversations with your teenagers at home. We know these conversations are important, yet it can still be difficult to get started and to know that they will have a positive outcome. Don't put too much pressure on to have the talk. In fact, scrap the idea of the talk totally and completely. These should be little and often conversations built in and around everyday life. It could be around the kitchen table, and we'll give you a few conversation starters for this in a minute, but it could also be when you're walking around the supermarket or in an ad break between TV shows or driving to drop your teenager off at a friend's house. These are the powerful moments and conversations that change attitudes and really make an impact in the long term. Like with any difficult conversation, try not to have them when your teenager feels like they're being watched. If the kitchen table is where interesting subjects come up, then that's great. But for many of us, these conversations can be better had without eye contact. Walking the dog, driving, cooking, these kinds of activities are great ways to start those difficult conversations. But what are the topics that we should be bringing up and talking about with our children? As the past few months have shown, this is a big, complex topic of which there are many layers and many issues at play. But at the core of solving this problem is literally starting that conversation and continuing it. There isn't a need to come to a huge big resolution or a massive change of perspective within a couple of months. It's a continual process of discussing, engaging, learning, and listening. And these are the things we need to be modeling to our teenagers. So today I'm going to share three questions that can help start those conversations. Question number one, what do you think about pick me girls and pick me boys on TikTok? Now, stay with me. I've probably said a few things that are new, and I'm going to talk through and unpack some of those things in a second now. But using stimuluses and trends that are part of our teens' day-to-day lives and conversations can be a great place to start. In particular, right now, becoming more engaged and clued in to what is trending on TikTok. This is a fascinating platform and somewhere a lot of young people are learning from every day as well. Even about sex ed and conversations about gender, sexual violence, sexual harassment. A number of young people we've spoken to this term have told us that they now know how to label parts of the vulva simply because they saw it on TikTok. Getting on TikTok yourself is great, but it's important to remember that it's, as a platform, it is algorithm based. So what comes up on your feed is not necessarily going to be what your teenager is viewing. One way to get around this is to take half an hour to join them as they scroll through TikTok. Let them share that world with you. Find out what they're finding funny. Find out what's trending for them right now. When you try a question like, what do you think about pick me girls and pick me boys on TikTok, you are opening up a conversation that they can relate to. A pick me girl is a girl who goes out of their way to impress boys and make them seem like they are, in quotation marks, not like other girls or one of the boys. If you're not sure, Google pick me girls TikTok and within a couple of minutes you'll have seen some videos that explain and that show what they are watching when this trend comes up. Now, this TikTok trend can open up lots of conversations that are current and relevant for teenagers. You can talk about how often girls and women treat other women badly in order to gain credibility with men, something called internalized misogyny. You can talk about the flip side of this, that often girls are labeled as pick me girls when they like something that is considered masculine. Why do we think that a girl who likes sport is only doing it to get male attention and not simply because she just likes football? Where does that attitude come from? You could talk about the difference between pick me girls and pick me boys and what they think about that. Are there any double standards at play? And what is the outcome of those double standards? Not only does this kind of stimulus lead on to interesting conversations, but it's also speaking their language and recognizing that their digital world is not just something to be dismissed, but something of value and interest to be unpacked and discussed. Question number two. If you could change one thing about the way girls and boys treat each other, what would it be? This question opens them up to talking about something relevant to them that they're passionate about or exasperated by without them necessarily having to come out and say, this has happened to me. There are many different conversations that could lead from this type of question. But the most important thing to remember, no matter what comes up, is never to act shocked about anything that they tell you. You can talk about why it's wrong and why it shouldn't happen, but as soon as you show disbelief, you'll start to shut down that conversation. Now, a good example of this were the many adults that were horrified when the recent Ofsted report found that at one school, girls told inspectors they can be contacted by up to 10 or 11 different boys a night asking for nude or semi-nude images. Now, that can be a shocking thing to hear for many parents. But when I've spoken to young people about this reaction, they've actually sounded pretty exasperated. And it's not that we shouldn't think it's horrendous and shouldn't be happening, but when it is happening and is such a normalized part of teenagers' lives, we only distance ourselves from them when we show disbelief. Instead of showing shock, we need to keep the conversation going. Ask them, what do they think is the reason that it's happening? How does this become accepted? What attitudes are leading to this behavior? And these questions are important, not because you yourself might not know the answer, but because you're showing to your teenager that you want to hear and you value their view on it. By all means, later on that evening, pour yourself a large glass of wine and say, oh, wow, I can't believe that this is happening. But your response in the moment will shape how open your teenager is with you about certain topics and will let them know whether this is an issue they feel they can come and open up to you about if it ever happens to them. Question number three. If I was 15 or whatever age your teen is, what would be the best advice you'd give me about surviving at that age? Now, this question is not about comparison, although it might seem that way from the outset. It can feel difficult to do this, but try and refrain from a comparison to your own experiences that separates you from your teenager. It can be easy when we're talking about unfamiliar issues to say, oh, this didn't happen when we were young. Instead, think about what might be similar about your experiences instead of different. Connect with them as opposed to separating from them. Many of the gender stereotypes, attitudes, and beliefs that contribute to these experiences have been part of our society for much of history. Although it feels like their world is a million miles from your own, there is much that hasn't changed, and also much that comes to light when we ourselves reflect on our experiences that were potentially normalized a long time ago and that we didn't talk about at the time. So there are three questions to get started with. These are conversations that many parents feel slightly ill-equipped for, and often we hear that these feelings might be exacerbated for dads in particular. It goes without saying that this conversation is just as relevant and important for you as dads to be involved with as anyone else. Whether you're co-parenting together under one roof or in separate households, or whether you're a single parent, it is essential that all take an equal lead in this conversation. As parents, you are modeling how we should talk about these issues every day. In our own conversations with young people, particularly this term, they're continually pointing out how powerful upbringing and parents are in shaping how they think about the world. So a question for you as parents to reflect on is, what example am I modeling for having these conversations? If you opt out of that conversation because it's a bit uncomfortable or because you don't feel like you have all the knowledge, your teenager is going to be learning from that. You don't have to have all the answers to show a willingness to listen and really hear your teenagers, to model empathy and consideration for other people's experiences. In particular, the most powerful thing you can do is to model learning. Take a look through our recommended resources list, and if a conversation comes up that you don't know about, say, I'm actually not sure about this. I'm going to have a read about it, and then let's talk about it again. And why don't you do the same, and we'll see what we both think after that. If you're learning with and alongside your teen in regular small conversations that center empathy, then that is time together well spent. For more advice, you can get in touch with us at natasha@boldvoices.co.uk or check out our website www.boldvoices.co.uk for more information. Thank you so much for listening today.